TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Our Common Future Under Climate Change. The Climate Deception Dossiers, Internal Fossil Fuel Industry Memos, and Decades of Corporate Disinformation. In July 2015, the Union of Concerned Scientists published the Climate Deception Dossiers. After years of research, whistleblowing, and freedom of information requests, a truly sordid picture emerges of fossil fuel corporations internally admitting that climate change is real, while at the same time spending millions of dollars to buy scientists who say that climate change is a hoax. These bought-off scientists and politicians make statements such as, "The sun makes things warmer, not humans or CO2, and anyway, CO2 is good for you and agriculture." The deception dossiers report the theft of letterheads of organizations such as the NAACP and the American Association of University Women. The Union of Concerned Scientists website shows copies of some of these forged letters. They were mailed to members of Congress claiming to be from nonprofits that advocate for the well-being of women, minorities, children, seniors, and veterans. They were urging defeat of legislation to protect the climate or undermining efforts at international climate treaties. The deception dossiers show how millions of dollars are still being used on advertising campaigns to spread misinformation and to fund efforts of organizations such as ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. ALEC's money for climate campaigns comes from Chevron, ExxonMobil, Peabody Energy, and Shell. Much of ALEC's lobbying has focused on dismantling, at the state level, policies that have proven effective in reducing carbon pollution and accelerating the transition to clean energy. Prominent among the climate deception organizations is the Heartland Institute. They are openly facing off against the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. They created their own organization in 2013. It is the Non-Governmental Panel on Climate Change, the NIPCC. The Heartland's most recent salvo was an attack on Pope Francis and his appeal in the encyclical to halt climate change, when on April 28, 2015, the Vatican held a one-day climate summit, the Heartland protested that Pope Francis was receiving one-sided alarmist views. They sent a delegation to Rome, and Heartland Institute President Joseph Bast said, quote, "Humans are not causing a climate crisis on God's green earth. In fact, they are fulfilling their biblical duty to protect and use it for the benefit of humanity. We are bringing the Vatican a message of truth. The science is not settled, and global warming is not a crisis." End quote. Heartland did not want Pope Francis to, quote, "make the mistake of putting his enormous moral authority behind junk science." The outcome of the publication of Pope Francis' encyclical and the meetings held at the Vatican was remarkable. Maybe for the first time, the ethical and moral questions were being raised. What is the obligation of scientists to speak out about their findings? And what is the responsibility of those scientists and politicians who allow themselves to be bought and sold for the financial benefit of a corporation and their own? The encyclical also pointed with great urgency to one important question: are some of these processes of disintegration, such as the melting of Arctic and Antarctic ice and inland glaciers, so far advanced that they cannot be halted? And more scientists and even politicians are saying that we urgently need a timeline by which our economy will get off fossil fuels to stop the melting before it becomes irreversible. Some say this effort needs to lead to fundamental changes in the next 10 to 15 years.
We should not disagree when scientists tell us that we have a window of opportunity, 10 or 15 years, to turn this thing around.
Bernie Sanders, sticking out his neck on yet one more hot issue. And what's the role of the media in all this? This is a TUC radio special presenting the media that the Heartland Institute employs to convey their message. This one on Fox News, debunking Obama and Hillary Clinton.
The Earth may or may not be heating up, but there's no debate that the fight over man-made climate change certainly is. Despite repeated proclamations that science comes down on one particular side, it turns out many scientists do not agree. Correspondent Doug McElway reports tonight on the deepening divide over an issue that is part science and part politics.
But the debate is settled. Climate change is a fact.
A torrent of new data is poking very large holes in what the president has called the scientific consensus about global warming.
The dirty little secret is that we're now at 17 years and 8 months of no global warming. Their models have failed year in and year out.
Backed by thousands of peer-reviewed papers, a study released today by the non-governmental International Panel on Climate Change contrasts starkly with the recently released UN report that finds severe impacts from global warming. The new report finds that warming from greenhouse gases will be so small as to be indiscernible from natural variability. The impact of modestly rising CO2 levels on plants, animals, and humans has been mostly positive, and the cost of trying to limit emissions vastly exceeds the benefits. The report may only heighten debate over climate change, where both sides are armed with their own opinions and their own facts.
Climate change is a national security problem, not just an environmental problem.
And all of the predictions of the scientists are not just being met, they're being exceeded.
Skeptics believe those statements are demonstrably false. They point to observable data, not computer modeling, to prove their point.
Carbon dioxide has not caused weather to become more extreme, and it is not causing polar ice and sea ice to melt. It's not causing sea level rise to accelerate.
All of which is leading congressional doubters to further question EPA regulations.
The sheer number of proposed rulemakings, coupled with the cost of compliance with the vast array of regulations already on the books, and what at times are the unreasonable consequences of their enforcement, is very, very frustrating.
Climate change skeptic Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma introduced legislation just last week that would tackle the administration's regulatory end run around Congress. It would prevent the EPA from issuing any final rule until it conducts an economic analysis as required under the Clean Air Act. Brad?
Doug, thank you.
This is an audio clip from Fox News, posted on the website of the Heartland Institute. Contrasting this with a press release of August 24, 2015, by James Hansen and Makiko Sato, stating that, quote, "It is clear that 2015 will be the warmest year in the period of instrumental measurements, as an ongoing El Niño adds to warming trend. We can already predict that the 2015 global temperature will exceed the prior warmest year of 2014 by an unusually wide margin." Back to Fox News.
House Republicans asked the Obama administration to send its best climate change people to a hearing today up on Capitol Hill. Only two of 13 agency chiefs showed, and what they heard goes very much against conventional wisdom about the causes and effects of climate change. Correspondent Doug McElway tonight with Change in the Air.
A peer-reviewed climate change study released today finds the threat of man-made global warming to be greatly exaggerated and that it, quote, is not dangerous.
The big issue in the global warming debate is how large is the human impact on climate? And this report shows that it's very small, that natural variability, the variability that's caused by natural cycles of the sun and other factors, way outweigh anything that the human impact could have.
The report precedes the expected release later this month of the United Nations report on climate change. Leaked drafts show surface temperature increases have been statistically insignificant for the last 15 years, and that sea ice is increasing, not decreasing. Armed with these new findings, House Energy Committee Republicans today grilled administration officials about the economic consequences of the president's climate action plan.
So I would ask either one of you, what are the special plans in the president's action plan to help address these people who are losing their jobs because of these policies?
I'm not familiar with the details of those plans, but I am familiar from reading the Climate Action Plan that the president sees this as both a challenge as well as an economic opportunity.
The energy secretary told panelists that warming is on a hiatus and will resume.
Again, the evidence is overwhelming. The science is clear. The threat from climate change is real and urgent. And the basic science behind climate change is simple. Carbon dioxide makes the Earth warmer, and we are emitting more and more of it into the atmosphere.
So tell us, when is it that it's going to rise again? This is a question that I think not only me as a scientist, I think even all the layperson ought to begin to ask that question.
No increase in violent weather, no increase in hurricanes, all of this, and somehow we're still supposed to believe the models. Models that they picked because they supported their political interests, not because they represented good science.
Many recent storms, fires, and droughts have been blamed on climate change, but today's report finds a historical record of similar disasters long before man-made global warming was in anybody's lexicon. Brett?
Doug, thank you.
A Fox News clip posted on the Heartland Institute website. The climate deception dossiers published by the Union of Concerned Scientists in July 2015 come at a crucial moment. Even though they're losing in power to banks and financial institutions, fossil fuel corporations are still among the 50 richest companies, and the dossier tells us how that money is being spent. In the climate deception research papers by the Union of Concerned Scientists and other nonprofits are seven dossiers, collections containing some 85 internal company and trade association documents. They have either been leaked to the public, come to light through lawsuits, or been disclosed through Freedom of Information Act requests. These dossiers offer the most complete collection available to date. The UCS researchers write, as the scientific evidence concerning climate change became ever more clear, some of the world's largest carbon producers, including BP, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, Peabody Energy, and Shell, developed or participated in campaigns to deliberately sow confusion and block policies designed to reduce the heat-trapping emissions that cause global warming. The letters, memos, and reports in the dossiers show that company executives have known for at least two decades that their products, coal, oil, and natural gas, cause harm to people and the climate, but still chose to actively deceive the public and deny this harm. With documents made public as recently as 2015, the evidence is clear that a campaign of deception about global warming continues to the present. Taken together, these documents build a case for why these companies must stop sowing doubt and blocking progress and must be held accountable for their share of responsibility for global warming and the damages already underway. That's from the introduction to the recently released climate deception dossiers, assembled by the Union of Concerned Scientists. From their own research, the UCS reiterated what is known and proven about climate change. Rising sea levels, longer and more damaging wildfire seasons, costly and growing health impacts, heavier precipitation and more extreme flooding, more frequent and intense heat waves. Here is how Fox News deals with these issues, and the Heartland Institute proudly posts this clip on their website.
Now to an unconventional challenge to the conventional wisdom about global warming. Correspondent Mike Tobin tells us about a new report questioning the severity and the dangers of climate change.
The UN-backed Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change recently concluded that the man-made impact on the environment will cause increased frequency and duration of storms, wildfires in North America, drought, decreased food production, and the spread of disease. Now a panel of scientists assembled to examine alternatives, the non-governmental International Panel on Climate Change concludes it's not that bad. NIPSI says there is more carbon in the air, but any change in temperature is within the range of what happens naturally. The human impact is small, and plants need carbon dioxide.
I think rising carbon dioxide levels and warmer temperatures have been shown to actually improve agricultural productivity. Billions of people are being fed today who would not have been fed.
Findings of the NIPSI panel are being published by the conservative Heartland Foundation. Leaders there say mainstream scientists are subject to both peer and financial pressure to reach the conclusion that human impact on the climate will be widespread and consequential.
Ethical standards have been lowered, peer review has been corrupted, and we can't trust what appears in our most prestigious journals anymore.
Those scientists agreeing with the notion that cars and industry are driving the temperature up and the planet to crisis attack the credibility of NIPSI scientists.
That's not really an assessment of scientists. Mostly that's a bunch of old retired guys that got together and wrote a report for the Heartland Institute that is basically full of misinformation.
Heartland says the NIPSI findings have been subject to extensive peer review. Contrary to what their critics say, the big public rollout is tomorrow in D.C. Shannon?
We'll be watching. Mike, thank you.
Climate scientists have documented that global warming is happening and that fossil fuel emissions are the primary cause. Now, a key question becomes, what responsibility do the major fossil fuel companies hold for these damaging impacts? When internal documents revealed earlier this year that ExxonMobil and other fossil fuel interests were secretly funding the scientific work of the supposedly independent aerospace engineer Wei Hawk Willie Soon, the news didn't come as a surprise. Back in 2007, a Union of Concerned Scientists report identified Willie Soon as one of a dozen scientists affiliated with more than 40 ExxonMobil-funded think tanks that then constituted the backbone of the climate change denier PR machine. Willie Soon, whose scientifically discredited papers claim the sun is responsible for global warming, produced work for at least five of these ExxonMobil-backed groups, including the Heartland Institute. But the latest cache of documents obtained by Greenpeace and the Climate Investigation Center through a Freedom of Information request lays bare a wealth of detail that was not available 8 years ago. Among other things, they show that Willie Soon received his funding exclusively from fossil fuel interests, including ExxonMobil, coal utility Southern Company, and billionaire industrialist Charles Koch. Soon described his scientific work and congressional testimony as deliverables to his funders, and some of his contracts specifically dictated that the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, where Soon works, not disclose the names of his benefactors. Here's Willie Soon's explanation of the effect of rising CO2 levels.
This is Willie Soon speaking. In a simple language, I think one should use the analogy of putting salt in your soup. Probably that the first few drop of salt that you take, you'll make the soup, you know, salty. But then if you keep dropping salt, obviously the taste will be just completely bland. I mean, that's basically what we're trying to explain about this impact of CO2, which means if you keep adding more CO2, the effect of it will get diminishingly smaller and smaller. This is actually a very well-known physical effects that I believe that especially the realists, some of us scientists who really care about scientific evidence, often really apply this concept and this physical evidence to what we study in terms of how CO2 can affect the climate system, whereas the IPCC scientists and their reports and their models, I mean, seems to really, really ignore a lot of these points and effects. And one can see that effects actually very clearly from the kind of what we call future scenario that is offered in the IPCC reports. They are very fond of actually having the CO2 rise, increase basically from pre-industrial level of some order of basically 300 parts per million. By the way, 300 parts per million sounded very scary, but then in actual percentage term is actually 0.03%. So please keep that in mind. And then from then, IPCC will offer a range of future scenario. Some of that could actually go up to basically 450 parts per million, is still 0.045%. Some of them, they go as high as 850 parts per million or even 1,000 parts per million. These are the scenario that I would have to say that even if one works very hard in digging all the ground from the earth and try to release all this carbon and burn it, that one would not be able to reach, get the atmosphere to reach that height of a level. So it's quite a bit of a stretch.
This audio comes from the podcast page of the Heartland Institute. And this is how the work of Willie Soon played itself out in the media. Also posted on the website of the Heartland Institute is the most eloquent of climate change deniers, Rush Limbaugh.
Evidence now leans against global warming resulting from human-related greenhouse gas emissions. According to the study's authors, these are 50 international scientists. We got a consensus here, folks. We have our own little consensus. 50 international scientists. And according to them, the hypothesis of human-caused global warming comes up short not merely of full scientific certainty, but of reasonable certainty or even plausibility. The weight of evidence now leans heavily against the theory of man-made global warming. Of course it does. We simply don't have that kind of power. Even if we were all diabolical and hated the Earth, even if we wanted to melt the Arctic Ocean short of a nuclear detonation, we couldn't do it, and even then we might have trouble. We just don't have this power that the left assigns to us. The science is now documented to be a hoax. Cryosphere is not melting at an enhanced rate. Sea level rise is not accelerating. No systematic changes have been documented in evaporation or rainfall in the magnitude or intensity of extreme meteorological events. And an increased release of methane into the atmosphere from permafrost or sub-seabed gas hydrates is unlikely. The authors also note that forward projections of solar cyclicity imply the next few decades may be marked by global cooling rather than warming. What? These scientists actually factor the sun into all of this? Why, who knew? Yes, global cooling despite continuing CO2 emissions. And these guys, these 50, warn against using imperfect climate models to advocate for a one-size-fits-all climate policy. This paper was released, produced the Heartland Institute. And as I mentioned yesterday, they have to do this because the left puts forth science. to document their politics. Because that's all global warming ever has been. Man-made global warming, nothing but a political issue. An opportunity for the left to advance its agenda, bigger government, higher taxes, less freedom, all of that. More control over your life because you're responsible for it. You have to be reined in. You have to be controlled. Left to your natural instincts, you'll destroy everything. The Democrats, they know best. They're going to put rules and laws and taxes into place that will control your natural destructiveness. And they've backed it all up with their science models. Well, the science models are hoax. But the scientists that don't believe this have to then come up with their own science. They just can't stand up and say these guys are wrong. And so more and more of the climate deniers have been documenting their refutation scientifically, all for the UN's IPCC and whatever open-mindedness they might find at the United Nations and in the media.
Rush Limbaugh, posted on the website of the Heartland Institute, a conservative think tank. Their mission is to promote free market solutions to social and economic problems. They deal with climate change, healthcare, education, and other issues. Heartlands is proud of their enormous reach into media, policymaking, and education. Their report for 2014 says, "We appeared in print and on television or radio 577 times. The paid circulation of newspapers and magazines carrying our commentaries or reporting on our work was 69.1 million. This radio program was based on the climate deception dossiers published in July 2015 by the Union of Concerned Scientists. There's a link to the text of the dossiers on TUC Radio's website. Find it at www.tucradio.org. The Union of Concerned Scientists was founded in 1969 by scientists and students at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. That year, the Vietnam War was at its height, and Cleveland's heavily polluted Cuyahoga River had caught fire. Appalled at how the U.S. government was misusing science, the USC founders called for scientific research to be directed away from military technologies and toward solving pressing environmental and social problems. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. While you're there, you can subscribe to weekly free podcasts. Downloads are free, and we appreciate any size donation to keep TUC Radio on the air. Our email address is tuc@tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.